Welcome to Lost Story Studios. I'm Beau Fader.
I'm Brockton McKinney.
I'm Jonas Britt.
And this is Lost Story Studios Lost Stories.
Yeah!
This is Lost Stories at Lost Story Studios.
So I don't know if you tuned in last week, folks, but, you know, basically what we do here is a bullshit and tell stories to each other, or do some art while we're doing it, and have a good time and drink maybe a few too many beers.
Basically, sure. Just be horse's ass.
Just have a good time just be with a
horse.
Friends.
We're just being a horse's ass for a little bit. Just
put a hand in one of y'all's mouth. I don't mind.
I like when you finger choke me. Okay. I like when you get a good finger choke on me, Brock.
I do like it as well.
So anyway, so just to start up the show, we had an awesome fucking time at NC Comic Con last weekend. God damn it was good.
Ruled. NC Comic Con was fantastic.
Thank you, Tommy Lee Edwards, Alan Gill, but all the guys at Valiant, Bob Burden, my fucking hero. God, how are you? I mean, there's so many people.
There's so many people.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. We had such a good time.
It was an amazing experience. Yeah, Best show of our career. Best show
easily.
Of our career. Yep. Awesome way. And then rolling forward into the Charlotte Comic Con, which is coming up the 15th.
Rick Fortenberry's Galaxy Con. I don't know what that.
It's not the real name. It's Charlotte Comic Con.
That's a pretty good name, though.
It is. Rick Fortenberry's Galaxy Con is badass. Yeah, it is.
And so we had a really, really awesome time there. And we're about to have a really great time in Charlotte, and then we're gonna do. I mean, Brockton's already booking shows for 2014. I mean, we're
first show of the new year is Jeff Beck and Menace Inc. Toy Gallery.
Yeah, that's right.
The Childhood Memories, I think, or something like that.
I think it's Childhood Memories.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Where you paint the breaths of your favorite childhood toy. That's not a bad idea. That's a really good idea. Great. Shit.
I think I would go with
Lady J.
Oh.
I always wonder what her boobies look like.
Baroness.
Her boobies were small. Oh, Baroness has a big boobie.
Yeah, Baroness has a big
boobie. She'd beat you to death.
I go either way. Yeah. Those are the size of boobies.
Okay, so anyway.
And then also, Heroes Minicon. Just saying, like, that's also in January. So it's December is Charlotte Comic Con for us, and then January is the Menace Inc. Toy Show, and then the Charlotte Minicon.
Yeah. Cool.
26, I think.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of stuff planned. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, find Lost Story Studios, the website, loststorystudios.com. You can find Brockton McKinney at Facebook, Twitter, me at Facebook, Beau Fader at Facebook and Twitter, and same thing with Jonas Britt, except you won't find Jonas
Britt. Jonas Britt, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, let's start. Okay. Which one of you guys will start? Come on.
Let me get a story for us. I got a few stories.
Is working on something.
I got a few stories. Jonas is drawing.
Oh.
What are you working on?
It's like a weird zombie baby.
Oh, cool.
No nose.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, cool, man. What do you want to... What's your story? You got something to tell us?
So I'll start with the fact that, like, everybody knows the story that Daryl Hall and John Oates were gay married in 1978 in Quebec. Everybody knows that.
They were gay married?
Well, they were married.
You can do that in Quebec?
Well, they're married, but they're two men. I mean, it's like, they say gay married just to... You know, because you might think that, I guess, you know, given Daryl.
I feel like Hall was the woman of the group.
Could have been. Yeah, and Daryl, the name Daryl, and that's why I say gay married. I don't care. Get married, you know, whoever you are, whatever.
I'm sorry, did you say that's common knowledge?
Story. That's the original story that everybody knows. It's just like bullshit that everybody hears and says.
I think bullshit is the right word.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, everybody, that's an actual story. That's, like, written in human history books.
You're saying, like, the Richard Gere Gerbil story is a story, not that...
Totally.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a story.
This is not a story.
Hall & Oates married in Quebec. Quebec's a story. There's, you know, these are based in fact.
Is there documentation?
Oh, absolutely. There's textbooks about it. About that. About
a whole
that.
Textbook about John...
It happened in 78.
Daryl and John.
So they had plenty of time to write the damn textbook. So don't try to, you know, go look it up. Go to a library.
I just don't
When's
remember.
The last time either one of you were in a fucking library?
It's been a while.
It's It's been a while, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, of course, but these books exist.
Well, they don't exist. Libraries don't exist anymore.
So, but the real story is, and I'll tell you how I found this out. You know, our friend, our boy, Timothy. Tim,
I don't like that kid.
Nobody likes that kid. He's a weird dude. He's like an old, he's got like an older face.
He's a son of a bitch.
Is he? Whoa. Back off, Timothy. Just a little bit, Jeremy.
Okay. Well, I'll give it back. I feel like he owes you a little bit of money.
It's not a big deal.
He has a studio. He has a studio. Like
$2,200 is not a little money.
Wait till you hear this shit.
I'd love to see your bank account.
I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, so he, you know, yes, he owes us
money. Why are you hanging out with Timothy?
It was like one night, I'm across the street, you guys are working, you sent me next door to get a growler. I'm just like, I'm going to go grab, you know, whatever. Timothy's sitting outside, sitting out with him. And he tells me the story. Mm-hmm. So it's 1987.
I thought he said it was 78.
It's 78 is when they were married. That's the thing. This is 1987. Right, flash fucking forward, man.
I was confused, too.
Keep the goddamn fuck up. Right. It's like we have jumped forward in time over 10 years. So there, Timothy is in Mexico. He's sitting at, it's a Mexican restaurant. He's out on the veranda.
Uh-huh.
It's a place called like Titty Chongas or something.
Hmm.
Titty
Chongas. They had one in Fayetteville.
They did.
They had good
Holy
salsa.
Shit, you remember. They had great salsa.
Yeah.
So he's sitting outside Titty Chongas on the veranda, and he's like, he orders a burrito, and he's waiting for it, and he looks across the veranda, and they're sitting, like, at the next table is Daryl Hall and John Oates. They're wearing bathrobes, white bathrobes, both of them, just enjoying.
Wow, at a restaurant.
Outside a restaurant.
Well, in Mexico, like, anything
3
goes.
O'clock, yeah. 3 p.m.
Wow. 3 p.m. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, wearing bathrobes. Anything and underneath, you think?
I don't know. He says no. He said, I said that same thing. I asked him the same. He said bare legs.
Maybe tidy whities. Right.
Maybe. He doesn't know.
Bare legs and terry cloth. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just sitting there.
Have you ever heard of a Terry Bare Legs?
Yeah. He is I have now. That sounds
Terry Bareleg is a really
That's a football player.
Oh, he was. And then I think Terry Bareleg. He went to the adult film industry on the gay side.
Did
of things.
Very well.
Terry Bareleg. Well. Look it up, folks.
Mm. So he's sitting there. He's staring at. He's like, "Oh, what the hell?" Hall & Oates sitting across from me. He looks at the waiter. His beer's kind of running low. He's like, "Una." Cerveza, por favor.
Very good.
You
know? Very good Spanish.
Yeah. That's cerveza, great. Por favor. And dude comes over to him, and you know, he's bringing him the beer, and he says, "What's up with those two guys, with Hall & Oates?" And he says, they're, you know, they're just, he's sitting here, we shouldn't talk about it.
Wow, weird about it.
He gets weird about it, and he says, "No, I just, like, why are they wearing the bathrooms?" He's like, "They've done bad things in the alleyway."
Oh no. Man, that guy's a little prejudiced.
Right, and then he's like, "I've said too much." And he, like, walks away or whatever. And Timothy was like, "I just was, you know, oh my God, you know." He's like,
taking
the beer. Yeah, and he's looking at them, and then Hall & Oates just looking at him. Oh, they're both, like, kind of staring down, like, "What are you talking about us or whatever?" And he's like, So he takes his beer and he, like, casually, like, saunters back into the restaurant and he goes to the bathroom. He gets in the bathroom, he takes a chair and he smashes out the window and crawls out the window.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
He was already outside.
Well, no, he went inside. No. He went, I'm sorry. Yeah,
That's a lot of effort
to get back outside.
Well, they were watching
him. A lot of damage to a building.
I said the same thing about the break in the window, but see, he said they're watching him, so he was like, "I don't want to go look in the alley, you know, and have them see me do it." So he walked inside first.
Do you think people heard him break the window?
That's what I said. And he said, you know how he has those weird, like, little fat mitten hands?
Yes.
He's like, "I can't work the lock. I couldn't work the lock on the window."
I should have thought of that.
But wait, I mean, yeah, that's true. Because he does have, like, something's wrong with it.
He's got big hands.
He's like a lobster hand kind of guy.
He is. True. And he was like, "I can't work the... I gotta smash the window."
Timothy Lobster Hands.
Yeah. that's you saying that. No one says that but you.
I thought it was a Polish last name, but that's mean.
Yeah, no, you didn't think it was a Polish last name. You made it up, you know, like, make fun of him.
Timothy Lobster Hands.
Mm-hmm. Timothy Lobster Hands. So the window is broken, and he crawls out. He says, like, it's like a tight alley, a small alley. There's, like, trash bags on both sides of it, like, all the way down, garbage cans and shit. And then, like, right past, like, the back, like, so one end's open. It's like an open end, and it goes back out in the street. Other end's, like, you know, just, like, blocked off, dead end. And down at the very end of the dead end, he, like, kind of comes around the trash bag, laying there naked, the sexually molested body of Paul Simon.
Oh my
God. What?
I mean, I don't mean to laugh. That's pretty serious.
No, it shocked the shit out of me to hear that. He was like, it's...
A sexually molested Paul Simon?
He was like, I think he's dead. He's like, I think he's dead.
Sexually molested.
Right. He's like, whoa.
I'm going to bring up a question. A couple questions. Sure. We're going there. It's a pretty intense story so far. Pretty serious allegations being cast out on Daryl. And
I'm not saying they did this. I'm just saying, I'm telling you the story. Yeah. I mean,
you did say they did this. Yeah, you just said that.
I did not say they did this. I said the waiter, you're using the power of deduction. You know what I mean? Like, but that's a Sherlocky thing for you to do.
But we're basing this on a son of a bitch, Timothy.
Right. Jonas.
So, like, it. I know you'll finish the story, but like, I mean, Paul Simon's alive, obviously, still.
Right. Oh, dead. Absolutely. Yeah, Timothy's alive. We still see him all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
These are two facts
we know to be true. Exactly. No matter how this story goes out, those two men still live.
I mean, I feel like there's several facts going on. So far, I feel like Paul Simon's alive. Timothy is obviously alive. Told you the story.
Yeah.
Daryl Hall and John Oates lived in Mexico for a while and raped guys.
He said, I look at Paul Simon, I see the sexually molested body of Paul Simon, and he's like, it's mostly, I was like, what, how the hell did you even know that? He's like, it's mostly like mouth stuff. He's like, there's a lot of, and I was like, what?
He said,
that's what I said. I was like,
there's a lot of mess around the mouth.
And he said, just like that. He's like, there's a lot of mess around the mouth. And he got quiet, you know, and he was like, it was just really, the mouth was, there was a lot of things that happened to it, you know.
Oh, probably. Like, well, I mean, like, what kind of stuff on
it? I didn't push it any further. He seemed to, like, not want to talk about it, you know.
When you look into the abyss, my friend.
Right, sure.
Right back.
Right
back into it. So, he goes up to the body.
Sounds like someone got right back into Paul Simon's mouth.
Who knows what happened? He says, definitely someone has taken advantage of him. He's not wearing clothes. He's laying in the garbage in an alley. He goes up to him. He thinks he's dead. He checks the pulse, and he's alive. Paul Simon's like, he's like, oh, fuck, he's alive. I got to do something. And he, like, turns around. He looks down the end of the alleyway, and there, crouching the garbage at the end, is fucking John Oates.
Oh,
in the, you know, he's like, and he's just looking at him, but looking at him from behind a garbage can, like,
whoa,
just like,
that's crazy, like,
not saying
anything,
totally not saying anything, just looking at him, and he's like, oh fuck, he looks at Paul Simon, he looks back at Paul Simon, he looks back up, Oates is gone.
Which one looks like Luigi?
That's Oates.
Oates, okay,
it's 100% okay, so mustache,
right?
Totally. So he said it freaked him out so bad to see Oates just disappear, that he just leaves the sexually molested body of Paul Simon, jumps back through the window, gets back in, grabs his beer, goes back out into the veranda. He's like, as soon as he sits down, he looks up, Hall and Oates, still sitting there.
What?
They're sitting back in the thing or whatever. They look over at him, and they're kind of looking at him. And
they're sitting back where they were.
They're sitting back at where they were. They're just sitting there, and they're both kind of looking at him. And then he's like, the dude comes up, waiter comes up, and he's like, is this your burrito? And he turns around, and he's like, yes, and it's fucking Daryl Hall.
What?
Holding. He looks back at the table, it's just Oates. What the fuck? You know? Yeah, so Hall, and Hall puts the burrito down on his, on Timothy's, you know, table. And he's kind of like.
So Timothy came back out, he didn't leave.
No, he came back to the table. He came back and
he's
sat
like,
down.
I ordered food. I
gotta get my burrito. he was shocked. The thing is, like, you're in shock. You know what I mean? Like, you do weird stuff when, like, guns are firing,
adrenaline's going, you get tunnel vision.
But no one's mentioned the broken window, smashed out window in the bathroom.
Nobody's been in there yet. Or maybe
it's Mexico, man.
It's Mexico. That shit happens. It really does. So he looks up at Daryl Hall, and Daryl Hall says, how's that burrito? And Timothy's like, I haven't had any yet.
I
just got here. He just brought it to me. And Daryl Hall says, that's great. Do you want to come over to our house tonight?
What? What kind of answer?
That's a horrible
thing. Was he listening?
Right. And that's where I figure the story ends, right? Because Timothy's like, done with the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like,
bing, bang, boom.
I know what's going on.
We had a great time. We partied up. We had a great time.
Right.
And yeah. It was not what I thought. Paul Simon was, it was really just a Mexican guy that looked just like Paul Simon. Mm.
Right. And I was like, and I whatever, whatever. Yeah, that's or easily, just like, yeah. Or just call it quits and be like, Daryl Hall's asking me over, but I've seen what he might have done. It's not for me. You know?
Mm.
You know, just using the
waiter. Did they say anything like, do you like what we did in the alley? Or
no. Not a word. No, he just says like, is that burrito good? He says, he's like, I haven't had a chance to eat it yet. And he says, well, that's wonderful. Would you like to come to my house?
I painted like, Paul Simon's face with his man juice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe. We don't know.
I mean, I'm assuming
yeah, again, that's right. Again, a lot of assumption right. going on here.
And plus, you know, Timothan, his pulse is racing. He's got adrenaline going. Right. Your stomach hurts. Your dick gets hard.
That's it. You don't know. Yeah. You totally. You don't know. So he says, okay. Sure. What time should I be there?
Wow.
Bold. Okay. A move you would not see coming. It's a left field kind of move.
I feel like that Paul Simon saw a couple moves coming.
A couple of hip thrusts. I don't know.
Oh, man,
I said, Timothan, what the shit, man? You're really going to... I was like, you're going to go back now? You're going to go back now with them after all this? Whatever. He's like, dude, it was Daryl Hall and John Oates. Yeah. I was just like, I want to go back to their house. They're invited back to their house or whatever. Sure. And he says, and he's like, Hall's like, you know, why don't we, you know, we'll play a couple of tunes for you. We got a couple of new things coming out on an album.
What, really?
He's like, you can play. He's like, we have a wood block for guests that they can play and we record that when they come over.
They
said the sandpaper blocks. Yes. Like, we got sandpaper blocks.
Yeah,
you would have gone. I know. There's a bunch of percussion instruments, you know, that you could come over and play that it might be on the new acoustic album.
Wow.
And Timothan's like,
yeah, how do you turn it down now?
Right. Yeah. 8 p.m. I'll see you at 8 p.m. Says Daryl Hall.
Okay.
Mexico time.
Yeah. Jump forward, 8 p.m., rings doorbell. Timothan's out. He's like, it's like a little ranch house kind of thing, adobe kind of deal. Like lots of
clay. I'm sure it's beautiful.
He said it was beautiful. Yeah, it was nice, you know, like sparse but well decorated.
Yeah, it strikes me as having good taste.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what he said. He's like, a couple of like low hanging cactuses, like from the ceiling, on the porch or whatever, like a little awning. Really, just the whole thing, he was like, was, you know, just took him back where he was like, oh, this is how it could be, you know.
Right.
This is how it could be. It's not fancy, though.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, you're like, oh, low key.
Maybe they're not raping Paul Simon's face. Maybe these guys don't do that.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
I feel like it's going that way, but maybe they don't.
Yeah, no, that, if anything, that's the billboard for we don't rape faces, you know. That's like that. Yeah, we're like, it's a nice house. Come on in. Ding dong, doorbell opens, Oates is standing there, wearing the bathrobe.
Of course.
He does the, you know, he gestures them in with his hand, says nothing, or whatever, and Timothan's like, all right, walks in the house. First thing he says is, there's candles every fucking where. There's candles every fucking where. I mean, like, he says, like, seriously, like, hundreds of candles. Not a lamp, not a goddamn light, not a light bulb, not a fixture, nothing in the whole fucking place. Like, it's just shit tons of candles and wax everywhere. He's like, really, it's like a nice ambient, feels good, you know. He's like, not scary, not in like a whole kind of way. Just like a, you know, like, oh, these people, this is where they live. Kind of thing. Daryl Hall sitting on a pillow at a little low coffee table, hanging out or whatever. He's like, Oates walks behind him, picks up an acoustic guitar, and starts noodling.
Nice.
Wow. He says, sit down. Like a flame and burn the candle.
A ton of candles.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, totally. That's exactly what it does. Sound nice. It sounds nice. I get
Hell
into
yeah.
it. He says, you know, Daryl Hall says, sit down, have a seat, relax.
Take a load off,
and just, you know, he's like, we're, you know, before we get ready to dinner, we just like to hang out and get to know everybody.
Yeah.
Sitting there, he's like, they chat, they're playing music. He's like, honestly, just the nicest people. Really and truly.
They sound like
just like a great couple of guys.
Yeah, sounds like a great time.
You tell them about the house, how they built the house, you know, how they're using the money and da 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 or whatever. Yeah. And they like to live here.
Oh, so they own it. They're not renting.
They built the house.
Wow.
They're like, it's a, he's like, we're doing a summer house. In the heat, he's like, we come here in the summer, like it's like a weird thing, like where you're like a summer house, like maybe in the you know, Alaska or something, they're like, no, we're, you know, we want to be here in the heat, whatever. Everything's going great. Yeah. He's like, then Daryl Hall gets up and says, we're gonna get ready for dinner, make yourself comfortable, we'll be right back.
He
he and Oates walk down the hallway.
Oh. He's sitting Timothy's there. Alone.
Timothy's alone. Okay. He's sitting there. He's like checking stuff out. He walks around. He's there. There's some really nice stuff. Some weird, like, sort of Mexican artifacts. Hmm. You know? Oh, like, yeah. On the, like, you know,
I bet they
the
look
mantle.
Crazy in the glow of all the
candles. Oh, that's what he's like. He's like flickering, you know? Yeah. He's like, but it wasn't, again.
It's a little scary, a little off putting.
That's what I said, and he said, not at all. Hmm. It felt inviting.
Oh,
he was okay. Like, it's like, really, it's not like bullhorns and shit. He's like, yeah. It's more like cracked pottery. Like, things they found in the desert on their walks.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Hall & Oates to collect bullhorns. That would be...
Absolutely not.
I'm going to say crack pot is probably...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good app description of what's going on.
Okay. Of what's going on right here. So, he waits 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's like, he can see down the hallway, and, like, the door is, like, sort of slightly cracked to the bathroom, and he's like, he's just kind of, like, looking, he's curiosity. Yeah. He's had a couple drinks or whatever, and he walks on the hallway.
Sounds like he should have stayed put.
He should have stayed put. Yeah. Agreed.
Wait.
Agreed. Yeah. I never would have done it.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're not going to, you're interfering in somebody's house, you're walking in their personal place. So he peeps in the doorway, and you can see the bathtub. In the bathtub sits Oates.
Okay.
John sits in the bathtub with the...
No problem.
Yeah, no water. Where in the bathroom.
Oh, that's weird. It's weird.
Okay.
And then, so he's like, oh, you know, the light's kind of shining on Timothy's face because he's like sort of peeping
right,
through.
Right, yeah, the noirish.
And then the light kind of gets blocked out and it's Daryl Hall walks up. He just sees his back, you know, mm-hmm. and he opens the robe up.
Oh, okay.
You know? And then Oates... just picks up it's like a champagne glass.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He's like holding the champagne glass out like a flute. A champagne flute.
Yeah, flute.
Yeah. And he's like, so he's got it sitting there, and Daryl Hall just lets loose piss into the champagne glass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just starts pissing it, filling the champagne glass up. And he's like, wow. You know, Oates' face never changes like a robot. He's just like watching it, piss just splashing out of the glass, splashing on him. You know, whatever.
It wouldn't take long to fill one.
It absolutely is.
You're going to piss all over.
It's done, it's done.
Well, at least they're neat about it. They put it in the bathroom. I mean, everything's in the bathroom.
That's smart.
Clean it up.
But weird that he doesn't change his, I mean, you know, I don't know. Why would they do that when Timothy's there?
Yeah. Is that a pre-dinner ritual?
Yeah, I don't know, but I hope they wash their hands afterwards.
When the glass is completely full, Oates takes it, tips it to his lips, and chugs the entire glass of warm piss.
Wow.
Just swallows it down.
Not even laugh, right, but that's pretty hard.
Yeah, just, you know, and like totally just, again, no expression. Not enjoying it.
Let me take a break with the story real quick.
Yeah.
And just say, like, these are pretty horrible accusations.
Yes. I'm passing them on from somebody who told me.
Yeah.
This is not me telling the story. This is me, and when Timothy's telling me the story, you know how, like, when you talk to somebody and they have that look in their face?
Yes.
Where they just want to get something off their chest?
For sure.
This is that story.
Wow.
Fills the glass with piss. John Oates drinks the piss like it's apple juice, just go, 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 or whatever, and puts the thing down, and Timothy's like just so mortified. All of a sudden, he realizes he doesn't even know where Daryl Hall is. He can't even see him in the back anymore.
Well, we already know that he's a sneaky pea.
And then he turns around behind him, and there he stands with a golden microphone. Last thing Timothy sees, crack right in the fucking head.
Flash of light.
Just a golden microphone. Pow! Right
lights
in the dome.
Out, pal.
Lights out, pal. He goes out. He says the next thing. I said, God damn it, Timothy. He was like, I know. He's like, next thing I remember. I wake up in the bathtub. I'm in the bathtub now.
Oh.
He's like, he immediately looks around for the champagne.
I'm in the bathtub now.
I'm in the bathtub now. Are they going to make me drink the piss champagne?
Yeah.
You know, but there's no piss champagne. And he's like, but there's a lot of ice in the bathtub. He like starts checking and says, did they fucking take my kidney?
Right.
Did they take a liver? What's going on here? And no scars.
Is he naked?
Nothing. No, he's not naked. Fully clothed.
Oh, wow.
Fully clothed in the thing. Just by himself, too, in the bathroom.
A little
pulls up the shirt. No. Bump
on
his eye, he's like rubbing his head. He like gets out. You see, like kind of, like, he's like, and it just feels like hazy, like crazy.
Sure.
They've done something to him, not just being knocked out.
Drugged him.
He's been drugged.
Oh, okay.
He has been.
Yeah, roofied by Hall & Oates.
Wow.
He did. I mean, he's like, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Cause something happened like that. And he walks out. He walks down the hallway, and he gets into the living room. He's like, and there they sit. You know, like there's Oates, you know, noodling on the guitar, and Daryl Hall's like sitting on the pillow.
You're awake.
And he's like, he's got a plate. He's like eating or whatever.
Eating the living room. That's pretty casual.
Eating just they're just like sitting there relaxing.
Sounds like such a nice place.
It does. I mean,
that's the thing. It's like you really look at it.
I still want to go.
You still want to go.
Yeah.
Timothy, you know, he's like, and so Hall looks up and says, "Oh, you're awake." And he's on the plate right in front of him is Timothy's penis.
What?
They have cut Timothy's penis off. He's eating Timothy's penis. He's eating, Daryl Hall is eating Timothy's penis. He's cutting it with little pieces, and he's eating the penis off of Timothy.
Well, I mean, come on.
So, no, and so then Timothy reaches down. It's gone. It's what? Gone. You he doesn't know it? It. He doesn't know.
No
yes,
blood?
He, no, oh. No blood. It's like, oh, they bandaged him up.
Wow.
They gave him, he said,
surgically.
He said there's tons of, like, not surgically, it had been eaten off. It was like, but there was like shitloads of needle marks. They had just given him so much morphine. He didn't even know. He didn't check down there. He just checked his chest. He
That's
checked his
the
stomach.
First thing you check.
The first thing you check. They
Timothy?
Had eaten Daryl Hall had eaten his penis completely off, and the penis is on the plate. He's like cutting the penis with the knife.
They cook it?
He's like,
cook
I'm
raw?
Not cooked. He's like, it's fucking raw. He's like, I know it from anything. He's like, I've seen that penis my whole life. He's like, they're eating my penis. He's like, you know, and Otis is just like strumming on the guitar. And he's like, he starts like running out of the house. And he hears Hall being like, oh, here I come. Watch out for, I'll chew you up.
Oh, no, he
oh here
words.
I come.
That is
I'm a man eater. Yeah, and that's where, I'm a man eater. What the fuck? And that's where the fucking song
goes.
That's not the right song.
But they
that's
changed not, it around, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the right song.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Wow, that's a good. I mean, and then what? So did Timothy show you his
here
penis?
She comes.
He's yeah. Well, because again, I
Watch
think they probably took it.
She'll
right.
chew you up.
Exactly, and I think they probably
think
took
like
it.
It's like a metaphor for a woman breaking your heart.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I think
I
they probably took it to
the
producer. You know, I think they probably took it to the producer and said,
and
like, "We got a song about eating penises off."
And
he was
like,
"Whoa,
big
hold on."
Guys.
And they said, "It's here I come. Watch out, boy.
I'll
chew you up.
Chew you up."
Whoa, here I come. I'm a man eater. And the producer said, couldn't this indeed be a metaphor for a girl breaking your heart and sort of just like, you know, chewing your life up?
And he's probably also right. Like, you have a reputation in Mexico for eating penises.
Yeah.
We probably want to.
We're going to play that down. We're going to play that down. You
right.
know, yeah. But that's where the song came from. That is where the original
song
came from.
So what happened to Paul Simon?
Oh, that was the thing. His molestation was never solved.
No. That might not be
No one ever know. Yeah. Like, he's obviously still alive, still walking
so
around.
So we're taking
whatever.
The word of Timothy
you know?
That Paul Simon.
Well, but the thing is, I saw there was like a Paul Simon concert where like during intermission they put on Maneater. And I saw his face go fucking.
He freaked and shit his pants.
He freaked and shit his pants. And I was like
wait, did
you
see
know?
Timothy's shoot off penis? Like, you know,
Here's what he did. He got so into telling me the end of it that like he stood up, he started taking out his pants, and he still had like bandages and stuff. And I was like,
whoa. I thought he said it was like 98.
Yeah,
it was
87. I know. Still,
when did you have this conversation?
I had this conversation 3 weeks ago. You know, I'm saying like that, but like
that never healed up.
I'm no doctor, but I don't think that.
I mean
you don't want to have bandages. I mean, you need to get that looked at, Timothy.
Yeah.
You got to put bandages on it. Like,
I said, listen,
I'm
and I'll tell you. I wasn't
either,
even going to tell you.
But
this.
Your math is off.
I wasn't even going to tell you this. But what he said was, he was like, regardless of what happens, as far as Daryl Hall chewing my penis off, I refuse to wear underwear. And so the zipper on my pants scrapes against where my penis was eaten, and it gets infected.
God.
So I wear, you know, like I have these bandages.
Yeah.
He's like, but you can clearly see that I'm a Barbie. I'm a front side smoothie.
He's a front side smoothie.
That's what he said.
I'm
a front side smoothie.
Smoothie.
I'm a downstairs smoothie.
Well, kudos to him for having an answer for everything. I can tell you.
No,
he'd already told the story.
He's a brave man for telling.
Well, he told the story a few times. He was going to tell anybody who had a few drinks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
right.
For real.
He had his FAQs covered, it sounds
he
like.
He did. Oh, absolutely. He could have just handed me a list.
For sure.
And I would have been like, but, oh no. But, oh no. But,
right.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's number 13. Okay, sure. Yeah,
wow.
he knew because people have asked him and they're like, no, it didn't happen or whatever, but yeah.
God, well, that's a hell of a true story.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, I feel like I do.
It does feel
there's some questionable facts and timeline things, but
right, it's
overall,
more like logistics
like
than
like,
it is.
Yeah, what story doesn't have that?
Overall,
right,
true.
I mean,
it's been passed down a couple times, you know, and maybe I'm not telling the exact.
I mean, it's not really been passed.
It wasn't
down.
8 o'clock; it was 8:15.
It's been passed down literally from the person that happened to you, not a couple of times.
Yeah,
I mean,
not really generations here.
It's like from Timothy to you,
couple hundred years worth of rumors that I've sort of filtered into a story.
I feel like, well, I don't know.
You never know.
All right, well. Yeah.
You never know. Can I have one of those beers, please?
Yeah, now's the wow. time.
Was that all right? Yeah.
That was, intense, actually.
I need a beer after that. And nice. And now is the time for more, like, just plugging shit away. Don't forget to read M Theory. Don't forget to read, don't forget to buy Death Curse. The second one's about to come out. Mm-hmm. We're working on it now. It's all done. We just have to get it all laid out and finished up, printed.
First Death Curse if you want it.
Yeah, first Death Curse out there. There's also awesome prints that Jonas Britt made with the first Death Curse. It's like an activity book. It's really cool.
Each story represented by a print.
Yeah,
each story represented by a print. So if you really like Pack 6-6, you can get the print. And what the print is, it's a mask that you can like cut out, you know, yep. and like the little fingernails that like go with it or whatever. You can cut out. So it's like done sort of like an old school back of a cereal box.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, perfectly frameable, ready for your house.
Yep. Yeah,
and put it in your Adobe. Vaculous.
You could be Vaculous.
You're the Vaculous now.
Yeah. And it's a vampire that sucks your blood with a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, it's very cool. So check that out. Or if you have any questions about it, just Facebook us, email us, whatever you want.
Please, but not me.
LostStoryStudios.com. Not Jonas Britt. He won't answer you.
Finger.
There's one thing I wanted to cover but before the next story, and that is we had an art show recently at Ultimate Comics. We did really well, and we had a great time. Ultimate Comics is the shit. They bought. I mean, a lot of people bought our art. It helped us not only pay rent, but like help put Death Curse out. Everybody that bought a piece of art gets a copy of Death Curse.
Stock in the studio.
Right. And wow. But so there was one thing, like that we had one really big painting got sold. I really loved it. It was a Adventure Time zombie painting. Like, we had Fiona and Finn, and there were zombies, and then everyone loved it. It was really great. It's a real
it's a solid
showstopper. Yeah. Right now.
And, biggest one in the show.
Yeah, and it was on when we had the show, we set it up on an easel.
Oh, I love that easel.
Yeah, that easel was really good. Like, I remember that easel because it was like one of the first things we bought with our money. Like, Brockton was at...
We didn't get it from the garbage. No, most of the things, stuff in the studio has come from the garbage. One of the few things that Brockton
actually bought and didn't find in the garbage.
Right.
And that's true. I mean, he finds a lot of stuff in the garbage and ends up in the studio. And,
it's a nice studio.
Yeah, I don't like it, and it's not very nice. And I remember him calling me. He was like, I'm at the art store, And I found this easel, and it's on sale, and we have $60, and I could buy it for $60. It was the first real money we made, and I'm like, do it, man. We need it, you know? And it's gone, and now it's gone.
Wait, why is it gone?
Well, I don't know, Jonas.
What? Did I lose it?
Well, I don't know. Who cleaned up the art show?
Who picked up the stuff? Who picked up the stuff from the... Are we going to do this?
Yeah, we're going to do it right now.
Oh, we're going to do it on the...
Shit.
So, you know, so Fader and Jonas, both of you guys, Bo and Jonas, both said, we'll go pick up this stuff from the show.
Right.
Don't sweat it. We got it. You do what you got to do. We'll be there.
Sure.
And then Jonas said, you know what, man? I'm already out this way. It was like a text. Let me clean up the gallery.
Because Bo would have to leave work.
Yeah, I was like,
he's got shit going on. And so you were like, I'm already there. I'm coming back to the studio anyway. You don't leave. I'll do
it. I'm off today.
I'll bring it in.
Right.
Great. So all the artwork gets... I remember thinking, you know, Jones probably going to take a few paintings that have already been sold and bring them back. That's probably going to happen.
That's
You don't know what's been sold. You don't know. You know, and they're you know, so it's not a big deal. We'll give them out. Or maybe a few paintings will be left there. You know, there's a few paintings that have not been sold.
Well, let's cut to the chase. He fucked up.
We don't know yet. We're just saying, like, when the painting showed up, the banner's here, we're getting ready to do the next show, we're going through everything, and but the easel's not around. We call it the easel weasel, because we say we're the easel weasels.
Oh, and I see where you're going with this.
Oh.
Easel weasel wasn't fucking there.
No, easel weasel's not in the studio.
I didn't bring it back to the studio
because it wasn't
the motherfucker wasn't
it was
there.
Gone it was like somebody stole it.
It had vanished.
Somebody took it. So the night of the gallery, someone broke into Ultimate Comics and stole the easel.
Oh my god, crime of the century.
Crime of the fucking century.
That's what I'm going
and
with
took it. Yeah. And that's but So, you know, but in response to that, he did the Lady Gaga for Adam and Eve that right. we needed
it's
done.
A small, small tennis.
Oh, no. He's ripping shit up. Don't rip shit up.
Come on, that's not the way to handle your.
He
hand.
Did. I said you. I was trying to like stop you. I knew you were gonna tear something up. That was a perfectly good picture.
It always comes down to this, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You always lose your temper and you tear something up.
Oh, yeah. I'm not mad. I mean, I'm not mad at all.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that you lost.
I can't wait to find that fucking easel.
It's a big deal to me.
It breaks into two pieces.
Totally.
And those two pieces.
I can't wait for you to find it because I really we could have used it at NC Comic Con. We could have used it.
We probably
it at
lost
the show.
A lot of sales because of that.
What were sure. you doing that day? You should have been
home.
There to babysit
I was eating.
Me since I
know.
Do
I,
one simple
I'll be honest.
Thing.
I'll be honest. I remember the events clearly. Because,
how about
like,
I just not do a goddamn thing ever again? Why don't I just fucking do that? Why don't I just leave right now?
I remember
walking into the fucking ocean.
Sure.
It always has to be the most extreme shit. Right
it here. Really is. It's like, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to die in an ocean. You know, and the thing was,
you know,
I was having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, yeah. and I got a bunch of jelly on my damn phone,
right.
and I was just like,
do this. Yeah, I can't I can't
Thank
leave
you.
The. I'm with you, man, 100%.
Thank you.
For what you and I don't agree
on
all that shit.
On that paper. That's all right.
Oh, sorry, dude.
You shredded it. Well, you ripped it. You ripped it into a bunch of pieces.
That's what my
normally he'll rip it in half. When he's angry, yeah. but he actually ripped it into like five different pieces.
It's always high drama in here.
Well, I didn't know I was going to get ambushed on the podcast.
It always
either.
Is.
Really?
I know.
Yeah. Well, you should have lost the easel. I mean, you should have lost the easel. That's really kind
of... It's less of an ambush and more of a like, you already knew that you did this. When were we gonna discuss it?
Yeah.
It was the elephant. It was the easel in the room.
Oh, what? That's terrible. All
right. Okay, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
No, we don't have commercials.
Did you guys ask Alan where your goddamn easel is?
See, there could be now. There could be. There's a commercial break right here. You just cut it out and put a little bit of song.
Look
in
your store and see where their precious fucking goddamn $17 piece of shit.
It was an $80 easel. We got it for $60.
Yeah. You got ripped off.
No, and seriously, when I did call,
chain wallet attached to it the last time I saw it.
It did.
When
I called, this is true though. When I called like, that day, I was like, "Fuck, you know it's gone. It's not in the studio. I'll call Ultimate Comics." And I called them and. It was right before the Comic-Con. And so the dude, I was like, hey, this is Brockton. He was like, who? I was like, how the fuck do you not know who I am? And he was like, this is Jarlicus. And I was like, who the fuck is Jarlicus? Whatever the hell is it. I don't know. But it wasn't the name I recognized. He's like, it's Jarlicus. And I realized, oh, everybody at Ultimate Comics is doing NC Comic-Con.
Yeah.
They're working on shit.
They got homeless
bums.
Banging on the register.
Yeah. And he was like, John, and I was like, do you think, can you look around and see if it's there? And he said, no, I can't find
it. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, we didn't even like, did you,
tell you
didn't
yeah,
leave
tell
the phone.
Was,
like,
yeah.
I,
that's why, the, because Ultimate employs fucking homeless people to take care of their shit. And now you're blaming on me.
Comic-Con. But the thing is, but here's the thing too. It's like we only own two things that aren't art. One is the banner. One's the banner. And one's an easel. So like if I showed up
yeah,
and I was like, you know what I mean? And I'd be like, so I show up to pick up our stuff and I'm like, I need essentially two things. The banner and the easel. Those are the only two things we truly own.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you also own a box of fruit roll-ups. Let me see. Great. They don't even make this shit.
They don't
anymore.
Make anymore. But it's an older, delicious.
Here.
Come on.
That's a vintage box.
It's a vintage box. It's like yellow.
Wait, are we on right now? I didn't know we were on right now.
Yeah,
we're not on right now, are we?
This is
a commercial break. I thought. I was just like recording it and record it.
Oh no!
I was like, we're going to commercial break. We all laugh now. Then we come back.
Hey, welcome
back.
No,
not yet.
Oh, no.
Whoa, no.
Yeah, I'm confused.
I am too.
Yeah. A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why we are on.
Okay, that's it. Yep.
All right. Well, welcome back to Lost Story Studios, Lost Stories. Sorry that got off into a little tangent, folks. We had to hash some things out. All right, it's all worked out. We're all good. We're friends again.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Jonas is not taking the easel thing so well.
Sure.
He'll get over it.
Easel be all right.
God damn. It's terrible.
Chill up. Jamaican chill up.
We don't know that.
We don't know that story yet. Yeah. No, it's a story.
So, one more thing before we go into our next whatever it's
segment.
Called. Segment. Is that there is another comic, our good friend Christopher Hanchey and his lovely, lovely wife Amy live out in goddamn where they live? Like Phoenix. Northern Phoenix, Arizona. And they're awesome people, and they both awesome artists, Christopher and Brockton have been working together a lot lately. Can we talk about one of the story? We have two
sure
things you're working on.
Yeah, which him. One?
Well, there's John Body Hunter, Intergalactic Motherfucker.
Yep, that's next year. Yeah, that's next year. That's next year. It's signed. It's a done deal.
And then that's coming out from Action Lab.
That's coming out from Action Lab.
Yeah, the Danger Zone imprint. And then the other independently put out or released is called Androsaurs, and it looks fucking badass. It's pretty cool. Like,
it's
dinosaurs and the wild, wild west.
And there's
guns awesome. And shit. It's fucking cool.
Androids and fucking crazy trains that run on lightning.
He's an awesome artist. We met him at XCon 2 years ago.
Myrtle Beach. He and Amy.
And they were, goddamn, we were just offensive as shit at a con. Anytime you
And they loved it.
Anytime you synthesize a con, one person literally got up, the guy to the left of us got up and left. We were too offensive. And they stayed, they stuck it out, and we were assholes.
They were like, give us more. They came up with crazy stuff. Yeah. Lawnmower and stuff like that. They came up with nasty. Oh, they came up with the nastiest shit.
That's a good
shit.
Story.
That's a good story.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we'll do that later. Yeah. The lawnmower, and it, that's a rough story. But that is they held their own, sat beside us. Literally, our table mate got up and said, I can't be here. I don't like to hear your.
And every time we see him at cons now, he's super awkward.
Yeah, it's weird now.
Like, hey guys.
Yeah.
He probably molests dachshunds anyway or something.
I don't think it's dachshunds. I think he'd up.
Oh, really? Could up the be. Food chain?
Up the food chain. Not just dogs. And dogs, you'd be like, oh, sure. You're maybe honestly, like a bigger dog.
I wouldn't know her if I saw her, whoever the person was.
You know? Mallory Mute.
It was Mallory Mute. And she, yeah. I don't know her.
She's
or him. Was it a girl?
She was a growing spoon.
We don't know,
actually.
The point being, Androsaurs is coming out in like a month. So, pick it up. It's a really, the thing I love about it is that I'd never done anything like this. Christopher Hanchey drew the comic, sent it to me, and said, now you have to script it.
He's like the Rain Man of cityscapes.
Right. It's so much fucking technical detail and so beautiful and clean. And he was like, I want you to script it based on what you see. Instead of writing the script.
The thing about it is, as an artist, he's a real asshole.
He is. He's a dickhead.
They're both bastards. Really, they're not.
They always are. Stabbing and slapping the entire time. Both of them. Yeah.
Slapping each other, stabbing each other.
With knives?
No, not with knives. Not even with pencils. Too. It was like meat stabbing, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird awkward
stuff. Yes, sir.
Okay, so Androsaurs, pick it up.
It is out from AC Comics right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Coming up from AC Comics.
And so, pick that up. That's awesome, man.
Pretty sure it's pronounced Ack Comics.
Oh, Ack.
Yeah.
Ack.
There you go.
Spelled AC.
Yeah.
And, all right, cool. So, so Jonas apparently wanted to share a story while we're working on some shit tonight. We're working through some shit tonight, too, apparently.
Yeah, we're kind of doing some stuff with the easel.
Our relationships
are right. The easel thing was weird, but we got past it. We're fine now. It's not a big deal.
I apologize about... Oh, I'm sorry, Ben.
No, go ahead. No.
I apologize about my temper.
It's okay.
It's gotten me in trouble before, and that kind of has to do with the story I want to tell.
Okay. You shredded that Pikachu pretty good.
Yeah. Fucked up Pikachu.
Yeah.
It wasn't Pikachu, it was like a fat ghost Garfield.
Yeah, it was my version of what I thought a Pikachu
was. It was terrible. Like, we had a contest last week about who could draw a Pikachu. Mine came out
From memory. From memory. Hey, who can draw a Pikachu from memory?
I
Bose won, hands down. Fader knocked it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Jonas drew a ghost Garfield.
And it was real terrible.
And then he shredded it into five pieces in response to the losing the Heathcliff.
It was like if Garfield and Heathcliff had like a baby.
And it died.
And it died.
It became a ghost.
Which it probably would.
Yeah.
It would probably.
Survive.
It's two dudes.
Yeah. Like, well, that's true. Yeah. No.
All right, here we go.
Once again, I'm sorry. I'm no doctor, but I don't think it works that way.
Let's work this out.
Okay, so that's what the story is about. It's kind of a sad story, so sorry, I'm going to switch gears on you here.
Okay.
It's kind of a sweet, sad story. But
sweet,
it's,
sad story.
It's about the first time I went to jail.
Ooh, rough. Mm. And he does this on a daily, like a weekly basis, people. He's in jail.
This is going
what year would
in the
you say this
things.
Is?
Just, oh, I know it right off hand. The year was 1996.
All right. Wow. 1996.
Year
first
of our
year,
Lord.
Janice Britt.
Year of our
Lord,
1996. And he, flannel was in style.
Yes, it was.
We were wearing flannel. We were smoking blunt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Baggy or great. Whoa.
I wasn't.
Baggy
gray kids
pants.
Were.
No, yeah, kids were.
Kids
yeah,
were. I was not a kid.
Wearing skids. Do you remember those pants with the plaids? They were very popular. Punks, Doc Martens.
All right.
So that kind of, that kind of sets the tone for where the story starts, because that's he's
evil bro.
That's what we love listening to.
Blood of China Bug.
So I feel like I should interject here and say, take it a little more punk rock, maybe Lagwagon.
What
that's
saying,
oh yeah.
You're saying Pearl Jam is pretty fucking punk.
Oh yeah, they were on the forefront of
violins
punk
and
movement.
Shit. Yeah,
I mean,
right. Yeah,
totally. Lagwagon.
That Jeremy Blows Me song is.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Is that not Jeremy Blows? How's it go?
That's actually the first
Jeremy
punk song
blows
ever
me.
Written. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it that was the first punk way. Song ever written.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was written.
96.
Yeah, 19.
So Lagwagon, No Effects, Face to Face, Rancid. We're like,
kind of skimming the surface. Uh-huh. So a bunch of punk rockers. Living on Windermere Street. That's where this takes place.
Uh-huh.
Listen to that kind of stuff. Drinking a lot of Boone's Farm.
Dirty old punk.
Right. Disenfranchised. We all had jobs, but we hated them. And there was about four or five of us living in this little hovel of a place on Windermere. And we had a friend named Dennis. And Dennis was one of the guys who lived in the house. And Dennis, he was funny, but he was funny in the kind of like, I don't know, maybe Kaufman-esque sort of funny.
Sure.
He
didn't know when he was funny. He didn't know he was joking. He was very dry.
Yeah, exactly.
Too dry almost, and that's what's funny about it.
Exactly. And he was also very physical, too. So think of like kind of, you know, Jim Carrey, too, mixed in there. Like, for example, we would be walking down the street to go get some more Boone's Farm, and he would just trip and fall. He would trip himself, but he'd do it in a way where it seemed like someone else had tripped him. And I'm not talking about somebody horsing around and just tripping themselves and laughing and getting up. This dude would trip himself to where he would smash his face into the fucking pavement, maybe lose a tooth, definitely get up bloody, with a big grin on his face, making everybody scream.
They're
and
laughing
laugh
their balls off.
And freak
He's
out.
He's committed. That's
totally
what it is. He's
committed. So committed is a good word for him, but it goes so much farther than that. I've actually never met anyone quite like him. So, like I said, we would be hanging out of the house. We were squatting, and no TV. I don't even know if we had electricity or running water, but so we kind of rely
electricity
on
or running water.
Right.
You're gutter pumps.
You're gutter pumps.
Pretty
like a motherfucker.
No, I wouldn't say we're gutter pumps.
Well, that's what that is. Pumps. There's no electricity. There's no water.
Yeah, you're gutter pumps.
Shitting in a bucket. The there's a big turd pile out back where you throw it, you know.
No, we'd use the bucket. Everyone uses the bucket and you bury it. That's what you do. You bury your shit.
Dump it.
Okay, let me tell my story. All okay.
Right. I'm trying.
So we needed entertainment. So Dennis kind of took it upon himself. We would work our like shitty menial jobs and we'd come home and we'd just be hanging out. And it started with Dennis. I can even remember the night it started. Dennis, he was in the bathroom doing something. I don't even know what he was doing, but we were all hanging out, drinking, having a good time. And Dennis, he comes out of the bathroom and he throws the door open. The door hits the wall. The doorknob crashes against the wall. When it does that, a bucket that was on the bookcase falls down and lands on Dennis's head. And there must have been a light bulb or something inside the bucket because it smashes and he screams and runs through the room and runs right smack into the wall and falls down. We are fucking crying.
It's the best goddamn joke ever. It's like you they meant it has a Three Stooges joke.
Right. It's amazing.
It's a Three Stooges joke. It's amazing.
Exactly. Okay. And it was the most funny thing we've ever seen. We couldn't stop talking about it all week. And so, and that was kind of that. And then one day when I came home, I noticed I could see these wires coming from the ceiling attached to stuff. And I didn't know what it was. And I left it alone. And Ronnie came home and I showed him to him. I was like, what is this? Is somebody making something? You know, there's it's
Ronnie, what's
ours.
Going on with the wires?
Right.
Which and is that was one of the names of your albums.
Yeah,
that
yeah exactly. That's where Ronnie that came from.
That's a classic. Is that really where it came from? That's a classic. Classic. Oh, you guys' shit. Album?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's Ronnie, what's going on
Ronnie,
with the wires?
What's going on with the wires,
no,
Ronnie?
Shit. Comma. What's going on with the wires? Wires, Ronnie.
Ronnie. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, okay. There's two Ronnies.
Well, I mean, I didn't
it's
know.
There's one Ronnie.
Ronnie, what's
two Ronnies
going on with the wires, Ronnie?
Exactly. Two Ronnies is the name of the band.
Exactly.
Two Ronnies album, Ronnie, what's going on with the
wires? Well, two Ronnies don't make a right was actually the full name, but we had to.
Two Ronnies.
Oh, you got Fader too good with that.
So, okay, we're looking around and we just think it's some weird, you know, art project or something. And we're drinking and lo and behold, everyone's hanging out and we're wondering where Dennis is. And
where the fuck's Dennis?
Where the fuck is Dennis? And we're sitting around, we're drinking. Door starts banging. Somebody starts banging on the door. The door flies open. It's Dennis. Dennis comes walking into the house.
Holy
as
shit.
Soon as he walks in, he slips on this welcome mat that wasn't there before, but we just left it there. Slips on the welcome mat. The welcome mat goes flying up. It hits something else, some kind of contraption that he's built. It was like, think about a hollowed out keytar, like one of those keyboard guitars.
A hollowed out keytar.
Think about that.
Laying against the wall.
Yes.
Getting
well,
hit by a
it
a
was shoved into a
floor
bookcase,
mat.
Actually.
It's shoved into a bookcase.
It's almost like somebody was defending their life.
It makes me angry. I'm like, clean your shitty keytar house up.
It's like hippies and punks. I can't stand it.
There's a bird nest in the back of it.
I don't want to upset you.
You're making me angry, but I like it. It's like a roller coaster of fear and anger.
So it hits the keytar. The keytar goes flying. All the keys, I say it's hollow because all these keys go flying off of it, right?
Right.
I mean, they're shooting through the room. Meanwhile, this dude's laying on his back. All of them fall in a procession of all around him, like in an old gangster movie when somebody's up against the wall and you shoot around him to make the body.
Yeah.
That's what happened, man. They just started flying all around him. He's screaming. He's in stigmata position, just screaming on the ground.
Fuck.
We are fucking dying laughing at this point. Right?
Dennis
done
stupid
it again.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah,
he's
it's
done
just
it again.
Insane.
Yeah, you're making the two Ronnies laugh, if anything. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, making Ronnie laugh twice, which is the same thing as making
exactly.
two Ronnies laugh.
Right, yeah. Mathematically, exactly the same.
So we got to the point where when I would come home from my shitty job and I would see a bowling ball hanging from twine, I would leave it alone because I knew genius was going to happen later on.
Sure.
I could just
fuck
feel
it
in
don't
my bones.
Touch it. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so if you, in that house, it got to be if somebody took apart your skateboard and, you know, it was hanging in a weird way or stuck somewhere, you would just leave it because you knew.
More than likely.
It was going to pay off. Exactly.
Going to fuck that up, yeah.
And so, sure enough, week after week, it just kept escalating. I mean, and it was some of the most magical stuff. I don't even know. I think maybe he had maybe some witchcraft going on because I don't know how he could pull off what he was doing. Or maybe he was just that smart.
It defied physics.
Right, yeah, just mathematically.
Some people look at
it.
Charlie Chaplin scenario.
You described it as like a Rube Goldberg-esque
kind
of
thing.
I did
when I was telling you about this. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And that's what it felt like because he would do all this stuff just to have a boot come and kick him in the ass.
Yeah.
You know? It would take 30 steps, and they would be flawless.
He's like an unintentional Data from Goonies. Well,
yeah.
We're like, Data's mm-hmm. pretty unintentional.
Right, right. Yeah,
human board game mousetrap.
You know what?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly, and that's what you can think of. So this one time we came home, there were wires everywhere. It was just a normal day like any other. Dennis was keeping us just in stitches the whole time, and all of us were hanging out. We had a bunch of beer, having a great time, waiting for Dennis to get home. We could not wait for him to get home because of just all the crazy
shit that was all over the house. We knew we were in for a treat. It's gonna be. Just feel it. We could smell like kerosene in the air. So I mean, we knew.
Oh God,
he had cooked up something.
Bad news. Yeah.
So sure enough, we hear, you know, at the door, we're all drinking. Somebody's knocking, and we're like, "Come on in, Dennis." And he's like, "You have to open the door." And so I think it was me. Yeah, because my fingerprints were on the door. Yeah, it was me.
Oh, God.
So I turned the door.
We're getting into fingerprints now.
Yeah, and I open it.
Forensic evidence.
Yeah.
And Dennis is just standing there. And I'm like, well, come on. And he said, you have to invite me in.
What?
And I was like,
oh. A vampire?
No, come on.
Okay, Dennis, come on in. And so he starts to come in. And as I move out of the way, he tells me to. He grabs me and throws me out of the way. And says, look at this, guys, and just runs into the house. And I don't even know if I can describe this. It was like, it was probably 40 different things happening in synchronicity, in unison. Yeah. It was just a ballet of just...
Take your time.
Just junk and bottles and boards. And it was beautiful. Particle board, like flying, like
he's
helicopter
knocking shit
blades.
Around. He's just like,
yes, sir.
Shit up. He's like
board,
windmilling arms and stuff.
Yes, sir. This
arms?
Man is flying every which way, but loose
and smashing the shit out of the place.
Yeah, but it's so beautiful. Things are flying everywhere, and he ends up sliding again on the welcome mat, which now says "fuck you." And as he's sliding, he trips. Another piece of twine with a clothespin on it, and the attic door comes flying down, and it catches him. A piece of wire catches him around the throat and flips him up, and the attic door goes flying up. So now Dennis is hanging from the attic door, wire around his throat.
By his throat?
Yes, and... He kicks
Gallows
a switch.
Style.
Exactly. He kicks a switch with his leg on the way up, and the bowling ball comes rolling down and crashes under our table, and the whole table ignites in flames, and in the flames it says, awesome.
What?
Bang onto the table. We look up. We are cheering at this point. We're
screaming.
We're
going crazy.
Cheering.
I'm in awe. I'm still like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And, but we were wondering... Why we thought that Dennis, being the magician that he was,
he has
gone limp at this point.
Oh.
His face is like the color of, like, you remember the California raisins you get at Hardee's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the color of his face. Like,
ooh,
like
that's...
But see, in movies, it doesn't do that. So I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a trick.
It'd be a quick trick.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He did that makeup insanely fast.
Well,
you know?
That
going
was
up.
The magic of Dennis.
Man. Right. You don't know, except that you
so
kinda
at this
do
point,
know.
We stopped cheering.
Yeah.
And we walked over there, and we took his temperature, which is what you do when someone's dead.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. You do not.
No, I don't think you do.
Yeah, absolutely. You check, like, pulse.
You take pulse.
You put, like, a thermometer in his mouth?
In his mouth.
His mouth.
Well, he had bit his tongue off when the wire shot him up into the air.
Yeah.
So I didn't really want to put it in his mouth.
So where did you...
Well, he's a friend of mine, and it's not like we hadn't done it before.
Well,
so I stuck.
You stuck a thermometer in his ass.
Well, I mean,
a thermometer in his ass to see if he was dead.
I'm not a
he's
doctor.
Not
I said that
anywhere.
Three times tonight.
In all fairness,
and I wasn't a doctor then.
All fairness, when I'm sick,
no fairness.
I call Jonas. He's the guy. He knows how to
Isn't
do
that
it.
A
it's
thing?
Real gentle.
Yeah. You know what? That
the most accurate
I think
way.
That's
I
weird.
Feed the mercury
when Fader sneezes,
perfectly.
Jonas, you will stick a thermometer in his butt. I think that's weird. I don't think that's
it's
like
an accurate way to test.
It's not.
I think
not
that's
an accurate
for
way
my
to
friends.
Test.
It's pretty accurate.
I think it's caring for my friends. And that's what I was trying to do
it's
for Dennis. And Dennis's lifeless, limp, dead, cold body was swinging there with the thermometer sticking out of his ass. And that's when we heard another knock at the door. And it was the police.
Oh, how'd they find out?
Our goddamn neighbors saw the
fire. Oh, they see the fire through the window. Yeah. And they're like, that fire spell's awesome. This is crazy. What's going on there? That's some satanic shit.
Yeah. Well, they didn't think it said awesome. They from
they
across the street,
from
yeah, they thought
it
said
a light.
Well, they thought it said Aryan. And by the way, they thought we were neo Nazis burning.
No.
So
shit. I would have done the same thing.
Right. Yeah. So
we're neighbors of color.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a bad neighborhood, and
that's fair on their part.
Oh, of course, and sure, rightfully yeah. so. I'd have called the damn cops on somebody like that. So the cops show up. They see my friend hanging from a wire. We're drunk as piss balls.
He's dead. Our got a face of a California raisin. Got the thermometer stuck up his ass.
And awesome burning on the table. And just death traps everywhere. I mean, there were spikes. There was a goddamn mace. You know, like in Dungeons and Dragons.
Morningstar.
Fucking Morningstar. There was one of those stuck in the wall. And I'm pretty sure it had blood and shit all over.
What?
From another instance.
Oh, a different dentist.
Right, right. Yeah. And it was all planned.
But they're like, we don't know when this happened. Yeah.
I mean, imagine walking in on a situation like that.
I'm imagining it right now.
2020. I mean, exactly. you're like looking at it now from your age.
Right.
Which I'm assuming like 50, 60.
Yes.
I don't really know how old you are.
I'm 36. But 36,
okay.
I'm just going to take that as a compliment.
I'm like 37, 32.
That's his measurements. He has a big old titties. 37,
32, 38.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm a shapely gentleman.
So that's the first time I got arrested. It all got cleared up. He actually. What it turns out that
wait, did you talk about Dennis? Are you talking about like old purple eyed Dennis that like hangs out by the reservoir? You know, like down the thing. Like that dude's not dead.
What?
No, that dude's not dead. That dude's like still alive. He has like his like eyes are all like weird and like
tongueless
purple looking.
Tongue? He doesn't have a tongue.
He doesn't have a tongue. Oh, he doesn't have a tongue. You're right. Because of the.
Is that why that guy keeps coming up to me saying it was supposed to be my foot?
Yes. I can't understand. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
It was supposed to be his foot, but it wasn't supposed to catch his neck. It was supposed to catch his foot.
Yeah, and he's always like, "No, no, me, Jonas."
I thought he was just crazy. Yeah, he's not dead.
Yeah. No, he's not dead.
I gotta call my parole officer.
You pushed him down in the parking lot.
Well, that's different.
You know, because you didn't know. You didn't know. It wasn't your fault.
Actually, that's not true. You said, "Get away from me, Dennis."
No, I didn't say that. I didn't know
you
that.
You said that. You said, "Get away from me, Dennis."
I said, "Get away from me, you menace."
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I use the word menace a lot.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's really weird. No one says these young 60, ruffians are menace.
61-year-old guys.
That's one rough customer. Yeah. Get the menace away.
Say, you're a real menace.
I say it all the time.
And Scray.
That's Dennis. He's not dead.
No,
Dennis isn't dead.
He's totally fucked.
I did 3 years for that motherfucker.
Well, he's totally fucked.
It wasn't even my fault.
I know. And he's not dead.
Now, three years was well deserved. And
I checked his temperature. He was dead.
You stuck
his
a broken thermometer like... in a hung man's ass. That's like there's no way that's gonna work out for you.
Well, I've been trying
to tell you that because like his pants came off. You can see his penis. But no, I've been trying to tell you guys that where like you just can't because this is not this right here. And this is the thermometer
you guys use. Why are you?
This is just a broken paintbrush.
You better wash that.
That's big.
This is just a broken paintbrush.
It's not a
thermometer.
Is that really what's been going up there?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what my dad gave me that when I was 6 years old and said that was a thermometer.
Well. Now that I'm looking at it, that's an acrylic paintbrush.
What?
It's an acrylic.
Give me
like
that.
Handle paintbrush.
Take it.
Oh, don't drop it.
Oh, it's slippery. It's slippery because it's been up Vader's ass so many times.
God, that's really big.
Damn.
It smells bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's been up my ass.
That is huge.
Well, if anything, we've learned something tonight. And that's that, you know, we're not going to check each other's temperature with a broken.
I mean, I'm still going to say, like, if I feel paintbrush. Sick, I'm going to get him to check my temperature.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Well, no, sure still,
it's like a placebo effect at this point.
Right, it feels good.
Yeah. Feels good.
What? I mean, don't get mad.
I'm not. Rest in peace, Dennis.
He's alive.
He's still alive. He's outside right now.
Dennis, we're pouring out a little liquor for you guys.
No, we're not. They're both assholes.
Yeah. They are assholes.
Oh, my goodness. That was an awesome story.
That was a fantastic story.
Yeah, it was really.
It was from the heart.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I have to tell you some other good arrest stories sometime. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guys, thank you.
Yeah. So, thanks for tuning in to another Lost Stories Studios episode. Lost Stories. This is what this is. The crazy shit. I mean, fucking Hall & Oates.
You don't know.
The shit.
That's crazy. True.
That's a true story.
That's a true story.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Apparently, all these stories are true, folks.
That's right. 100%.
Join us next time. We'll see you next week. And I think that's it. Is that right?
Hashtag us at Lost Story Studios.
Hashtag, hashtag Lost Story Studios. Hashtag Dennis. Hashtag Hall & Oates.
Hashtag Timothin.
Hashtag Timothin.
Hashtag Thermometer.
Hashtag Brogan Thermometer.
Right. Hashtag Paul Simon's cum drenched face.
Yeah, no.
Really? No, that's too long. That's a long hashtag.
It's a long hashtag.
It's pretty long.
Hashtag Paul Simon's sexually molested body.
That's better.
That's fair.
Hashtag
or you get hashtag.
That's already a thing, though. You'd just be joining like a bunch million of other, people. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining. Thanks for tuning in to Lost Story Studios, Lost Stories. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Good night, Irene.
Good night.
Daryl Hall eating his penis completely off, and the penis is on the plate. He's like cutting the penis with the knife.
How'd they cook it?